our hearts open. We say they're prepared. We ask you to speak to us, Father. Speak to us through your word. Speak to us through your spirit that we might grow and know and leave here empowered for the places you've called us to. In Jesus' name, and you can all be Pentecostal and yell,
amen.
So every once in a while, you know, my kids, when they were little, they were filling out things. Ma, what are we? You know, check the box. So, you know, you are the book of Acts, so that makes you Pentecostal. All right? You are the whole book of all the New Testament, so that makes you evangelical. So I used to tell them, just write Pentecostal evangelical, and you don't ruffle anybody's feathers. So they were kind of fun. All righty. Let me see how I'm going to do this. Open up to Daniel chapter 3. Just leave your bookmarker there. We're going to do two other scriptures, but that's where we're going to camp out. Daniel. So we are doing a series called Stand, and we're doing stories through the book of Daniel, stories about Daniel and his friends. The title of the message today is called Standing Firm in the Fire. Standing Firm in the Fire. Anybody going through the fire? Anybody got some difficult, I was going to say some beep, difficult stuff in their life? All right. A pastor friend of mine used to say, you're either coming out of the hard times, or you're in the middle of the hard times, or you're going to enter into hard times. And I'm like, really? That sounds so depressing. Okay? But a lot of Christians don't believe they should go through hard times and suffer. But Jesus said in John, I've got to look at my notes, I knew that. John 16:33, on the earth you will have tribulation, and I like the New Living, it says, you will have many trials and sorrows. Jesus said that. Your mother didn't say that. Jesus said that. But the next part's the best. He says, take heart, I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. So, I've overcome the world. I'm so glad. So, listen, I don't know what you're going through. Occasionally, people will call me up and give me the whole spiel, and I have great compassion. So I don't know if you're going through a financial trial, a health fire, a relationship fire, trial, whatever, or your job's just plain old unstable. I don't know what you're in the fire with, but sometimes we get in these situations. Not because you did anything. It's just you're in the world and you're going to have trials and sorrows. Just 1 second. Patrick! Stand up for 1 second. I'm so sorry. I can do whatever I want. I'm the boss. Yay! Patrick graduated Friday from the Marine Corps. Yay! All right. Okay. Okay, I'm good. I'm going to take a drink here. Wow, okay. Why did I just breeze by that? Okay. That's so cool. We are so proud. Hallelujah. All righty. Okay, here we go. Got to wipe my mascara. Okay. So, you know, a lot of times sometimes you do dumb things to get you in the fire. Sometimes you don't even do dumb things. You live in a world that's cursed, and we are going to run into this stuff. And so sometimes you're running through this stuff, these trials, and you are doing all that you know to do. And you're going, why am I struggling? So the message today is I believe that these scriptures will encourage you, give you some answers, and push you over the top. Okay? Hallelujah. So now I did tell you to stay in Daniel 3, but before, just stay there, but hop over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Hop over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, background. Peter is writing to the folks that used to live in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers that used to live in Jerusalem, but because of persecution, they had to get out of town fast. The Bible says they scattered. But I want to tell you, they had to get out of town fast because of tremendous persecution. So you have to get out of town fast. You're leaving your home. You're leaving all that you know. How do you feel? How do you feel? So Peter writes this to comfort these people that are scattered, all right? Comfort everyone that finds themselves in situations that are hurtful, that are trials, that are sorrowful. Peter is writing so that you can be comforted. So 1 Peter 1:17 says, if I can find it, 1:7, excuse me, 1 Peter 1:7. These trials, these sorrows or these trials, these situations are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So, if your faith remains strong after being tried by the fire, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ reveals to the whole world. So what he's saying is, if gold can withstand the fire, if gold can withstand the fire, everybody say, you can. Point to your friend and say, you can too. If gold can withstand the fire, you can. And he's saying, how much more precious is your faith than gold? Personally, I like gold, but listen, you guys are precious, all right? So in your trials, in those sorrows, in those hard times, and we're going to talk about Daniel and his friends in the fire, they will reveal your faith. And we want our faith to be revealed strong, right? Okay, so if you're taking notes, now let me tell you about taking notes. Wives, you get to do this. How many times you've talked to your husband and they're going, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. And then you turn around and you say, what'd I just say? And they go, oh, honey. Okay, take notes. That is why you take notes. Because you'll drive to the end of the parking lot. What did Pastor D say? Notes. Taking notes. Even if you just jot down a couple of key words, they'll recall. Okay? They'll recall. And the more things you hear, say, write down, you'll remember. So it's not just because I think you all ought to take notes. It's because you all ought to take notes. All right. So I'll say this a couple times. If you're taking notes, write this down. Okay? Our key thought today is this. Write this down. A faith that is tested is a faith that is trusted. Now, I'm not going to tell you about the last part till the very end. But the first part you probably get after 1 Peter 1. A faith that is tested is a faith that is trusted. So, today we're going to look at a faith that it was tested in three guys. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Flip back to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. So these guys are under the king, King Nebuchadnezzar. And we talked a couple of weeks ago that he was just plain old evil. And we went, boo. He was evil. He just did any way he could. He did it dirty and bad. So this is an evil king. And now all of a sudden, he builds this 90-foot statue, which is like 30 yards tall. He builds this 90-foot statue. I think it's 3 feet wide or three. Let me write that down. Yeah, 3 feet wide. 9 feet wide. 9 feet wide. You love how I reverse things. Okay. So he builds this enormous statue, and he tells all the governors, all the authorities, the magistrates, the judges, he tells all of them, hey, I want you to come to the dedication service of this statue of mine. All right? Now, Daniel, we're going to read starting in Daniel 3:3. When all of the officers had arrived, I'm reading today out of the New Living. When all of the officers arrived and were standing before the image King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, A herald shouted out, People of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's suggestion. Possibility you might want to do it. It says command. All right, this is a command. Listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither. Anybody know what a zither is? Forgot to look that up. Must be so cool. You don't know what it is, all right? A zither, a lyre, a harp, a pipes, and all other instruments. Bow to the ground. Worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. Okay. Now, everybody say command. It was a command that when you saw this huge, ridiculous statue, you had to bow down, okay? And if you read on in verses 12, 13, and 14, everybody bows down. Everybody bows down. All the governors and anybody who's in place of authority and all the people that were commanded to be there, everybody bows down and except. Everybody say except. Three Hebrew teenage boys. Three Hebrew teenage boys. They do the accept. They stand. Okay? Now, a faith tested is a faith that's trusted. They continue to stand knowing now their faith is now being tested. And we're going to see what happens. Okay. Hold that thought. Has anybody had a bad day in the last 14 days? Anybody have a bad day in the last 14 days? Okay, let me tell you a couple of those bad days. This has got to be about 10 years ago. I heard this story. I was rolling on the floor because I wasn't a part of it. But my nephew Stephen was probably about 13, and Michael's, I don't know, 6 years older. And they just got a flat screen TV. Uncle Jim bought this big boppin' thing, okay? Brand new. They turned in those big old things for them. Okay, and they are fighting over who has control of the channel changer. I have it. You have it. I have it. You have it. Next thing you know, Stephen has it, and it goes, thump, and it hits the flat screen TV. Everybody say, bad day. Stephen is having a bad day. Now, I didn't get to the root of the story, but Stephen had to pay for that new TV. I don't know why Michael didn't. Anyway. All right. Just the other day, I was talking to my daughter, Cassie. She lives in Kansas City. She is a nurse for pre-op, post-op. She's the first and the last that sees you. Okay? And she was telling me, oh, Mom, I had such a bad day. She is a charge nurse, and so she gets all the complaints from the doctors and from the nurses, from the people that clean the floors. She gets all the problems. And she was just telling me, Mom, I had such a bad day. And then I told her, I was with the singles group. We are meeting Tuesday. I'm advertising right now. Tuesday at 6:30 at Chick-fil-A on Route 30 here. Okay. And, Penny was there, and Penny works at York Hospital, and she's a person that gets you from your room, wheels you to the OR, and she's the first person you see, too. And she was telling me she had a bad day, and I'm sitting here thinking about it. Cassie had a bad day, Penny had a bad day. I said, well, okay, Penny, we'll pray for you. Okay, well, I'm so compassionate. And she said, I said, well, why did you have a bad day? She said, because people didn't come back. I was like, what, they get lost? She said, no, Dee. Many of my patients that I wheeled in died. I was like, she said, many. It was just one of those days they died. And she said, I was the last one. And she said, you know, their family kisses them goodbye, and then I see them. She said, So I tell that to Cassie. You think you had a bad day? She goes, wow, she had a bad day. All right. Okay, this one I saw on a YouTube. So, of course, I'm so techno. I didn't pull it up for you. So, it's a picture of this minivan. It's one of those, back in my day, those hearses. You know, the hearses that carried the caskets were these big, long, really ornate. Now, they just have minivans. Okay? So, it's a picture of this minivan on the side of the road. And the guy that's obviously the driver of the hearse minivan is on the phone, and you can tell he's having a bad day. And the picture is that he must have stopped short, and the thing wasn't tied down. It busts through the window, and there is the coffin hanging out on the ground. I laughed so hard. Bad day, okay? That's a bad day. I can't help it. Okay. Pastor D, a bad sense of humor. Whatever. All right. Sometimes we think we have a bad day. Everybody say, bad day. But now we've got these three Hebrew children, teens, young teens, and they are having a pretty bad day. Bad day. Okay. Now, what I find is so amazing about these guys that are having a pretty bad day, all right, is that there's some qualities that'll come out of you in those trials if you'll let God. There are qualities. There's actually good qualities that'll come out of you when you're facing a bad day if you let God. So if you're taking notes here, we're going to go over three qualities of faith that occur when you have these trials, these situations, these bad days, all right? And for the sake of our story, when you find yourself in the fire. So, three qualities. Number one, if you're taking note, faith obeys. Oh, I love that word. My kids hated that word. That was my favorite word. That word was better than no. No. I would say obey, obey, obey. But listen to this one. Faith obeys. Faith obeys God instead of following man. Faith obeys God instead of following man. Everybody say, yeah, of course, Pastor D. Sure, I know that. All right. So, background. We've got these three children, Hebrew children, and the king has ordered that everybody has to gather when the band starts playing. So the band starts playing, and everybody bows low, gets on their knees, and they start worshiping this ridiculous 90-foot statue, okay? But three boys are left standing, all right? Now, some of the government officials, three, see those three. Some of the other government officials see those three Hebrew teenagers. And I think there was a little bit of jealousy going on because they were outsiders that were brought in. So they go rat on them, all right? So these government officials go run to the king. They go tattle on him, and they say, listen, there's everybody bowed down, but three Hebrew teenagers that you have in office. So the king is just furious. He calls for the three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He says, hey, you guys come here right now. So they are standing before the king, and he's just furious, and he says, what is it? You have disobeyed my orders. You have not bowed down. I'll give you a second chance when the music plays. You bow down and you worship this idol. And they didn't do it, did they? Now, it's so cool. This king thinks, I will give you a second chance to save your life. Yeah, right. All right. So he just says, listen, you guys do it. And pick up in verse 16, would y'all? Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied. That means they started talking. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. We do not need to defend ourselves in this matter. Now, personally, that sounds a little cocky to me. You are standing before the king, and you go, listen, king, we don't have to defend ourselves to you. This isn't about you and us. This is about us and my God. That looks a little cocky there, but I'm telling you, that's the place you want to get to, all right? Because faith obeys God, and it doesn't obey people, all right? Man, all right? Now, it's so interesting. They get called in to the principal's office. You know that feeling? And they get one more chance, or you're going to be spanked. Yeah, you're going to be made a crispy marshmallow, okay? They get one more chance. And what do? Oh, they say, listen, King, we have to pray for a week. No, listen, King, did they say, we're going to go fast about this? Did they do any of that? Uh-uh. They didn't do any of that. Better yet, did they post that on Facebook and wait to see how many people like and how many people wrote comments so they can decide which way they should go? Did they do any of that? Oh, no, they did not. Okay? You know why? Everybody say, why? Don't you love two-year-olds when they start doing that? Why? Why? You just want to go, because I said so. Well, you're allowed to say why. Why? It's because they had predetermined a plan. They had predetermined a plan a long time ago that they would honor their God and obey their God. They predetermined the plan that we will obey God, period, end of story. Better yet, we will obey God no matter what. Now listen. It's so funny. Okay, so everybody, why? Why? Because faith obeys God instead of following man. Now listen. They predetermined before they got there, long time ago, who they served, right? Alrighty, now, I'm thinking, I'm calling into the principal's office. I get one last chance or I'm going to be a burnt marshmallow. And I'm thinking this might be the time to start rationalizing in my mind. Start compromising. I'm thinking, you know, this is a good time where we'd say, listen, hey, guys, we could just bow down and pretend. And in our heart, we're singing, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because, you know, we're just going to fake it. Start rationalizing and compromising in your brain. Anybody ever done that? On the things of God? Thank you. One honest person shaking their head. Okay. How about this? Guys, let's just worship this ridiculous thing. And tomorrow we're going to wake up and we're going to feel so terrible, so guilty. So we'll do what we always do. We'll ask God to forgive us because he's a God of grace. How many people do that? I am deliberately going to, because I know God will forgive me, all right? Or this one, listen, God, if I'm dead, who's going to tell everybody that you are Jehovah, the Most High God? So listen, we're just going to do this once. We're going to bow down and worship this thing once. But listen, did they do that? Nope. Why? You would say, why, Pastor D? Because they predetermined a long time ago that they would honor God, that they would serve God no matter what. Okay. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ here, and you're trying to follow his plans, can I tell you something? You have an enemy, and he gives you a zillion opportunities, even today. Even today, even right now, not to follow after the Lord. He gives you opportunities like ridiculous that you are not going to follow the plans that God has for you. He'll give you opportunities. But listen, those guys decided, we will obey God and we will not be swayed, rationalized, compromised, and follow after man. Right. Isn't that wonderful? Why? Because faith obeys God instead of following men. So, faith in the fire obeys who? Faith in the fire obeys who? Yes. Okay. So, it doesn't listen to the comments on Facebook. It doesn't listen to your enemy that tries to make you just, well, you know, one time won't be so bad. Faith simply obeys God. Isn't that wonderful? Ah, yay! All right. Second quality of faith when you're going through the fire. If you're taking notes, second quality of faith if you're going through the fire. Write this down. Faith believes in spite of what it sees. Oh, really? Faith believes in spite of what it sees. All right, jump down, and we are at verse 17. If, now they said this, hey, listen, King, we don't have to defend ourselves to you, because verse 17, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God who we serve is able, underline able, the God who we serve is able to what? Yeah. And he will rescue us from your power, your majesty. Notice they still talk nice there, okay? He will. He will. He will. All right. So these guys are basically saying, hey, listen, King, no matter what we see, no matter what I see, I believe not only is my God able, all-powerful, omnipotent, powerful God, the Most High God, I also believe that my God is willing. And listen, there is a big difference between God is able and God is willing. And many times in the New Testament, many times, I'm thinking of the one where this father comes to Jesus and he says, listen, I know that you are able, but are you willing to heal my son? These guys knew the both. They knew that God was able and God was willing. And you know what? When I know that my God, who I serve, is able and willing, I hit the floor and pray. I believe. I'm in faith. And period. End of story. Okay. They had those two things. You have to have those two things. All righty. Now, let's just say you might be, this week you got a report from the doctors. It's a bad report. All right. And the diagnosis is not one that you want to go home with. So what do you do first? You trust God. What do you do next? Do you know that God is able? Read your Bible. You know God is able, all right? Especially New Testament. I mean, Old Testament, yes, but especially New Testament. So I will read all the places where God says, you just see the incredibly miraculous things happen, and then you find out all those times that Jesus says, and my God is willing. It is God's will. It is God's will to heal you. It's God's will to heal all of you. And then I'm like, okay, end of story. I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe. I'm going to take authority over the devil, and period. Amen. But my God will. All right. How about this one? How about you have a relationship right now that is just crumbling, okay? And I mean, maybe with a spouse, and the worst of the worst happened. And everybody's telling you, you get a ticket out of town. Okay? But you say, I know my God is able to repair this relationship. I know that my God is actually willing, because he makes all things new. He restores. And you know what? I was meditating on this. Okay, calm down, Pastor D. All right. So I was meditating on this the other day. He says he's the beginning and the end. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Okay, he's the beginning and the end. He knows not only the beginning mess you're in, he knows the end mess. Excuse me, not mess. He knows the end good thing. So would you dare to believe the end? Would you dare to believe that he has an end that's better than your beginning? Okay, it just spoke volumes to me this week. I was just shouting hallelujah. He is knows the beginning and he knows the end. So my job is I believe that my God is able to take this mess, okay? And I know he's willing, period, all right? So these guys, where are we? Okay, let me just say this here. So we know God is able, we know God's willing, but we got this problem is what we see. Oh my gosh, it's impossible. Oh my gosh, it's impossible. Did you see the mess I'm in? Did you look at my checkbook? Did you see the red pink piece of paper I got? It's impossible. So we get stuck in what we see. Anybody ever get stuck in what you see? And I'm telling you, sometimes it's not what I see. It's just hearing it. It's hearing it. It's hearing it. So we get stuck. And you know what happens? We start doubting. We start doubting. But how many of you know the scripture? Is my God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than you can ever imagine and think of. All right. So because of that, I am not going to look at what I see. Now, I'm looking at what I'm seeing. I'm looking, but I'm not going to get doubt and stuck. I'm not going to get stuck, and I'm not going to doubt. All right? Besides, we serve the Most High God. Not some 90-foot ding-dong statue. I serve the Most High God. So, before I get to number three, this number three is the hard question. And you're going to go, oh, yeah, lady, you've had that hard question, but I'm looking at you. This is the hard question. What do you do when it doesn't turn out the way you believed? What do you do when it doesn't, the outcome isn't what you thought it should be? Everybody say, what do you do? Anybody have some outcomes that didn't turn out the way you wanted to? Anybody were believing something that just didn't work the way you thought it should? All right, if you're taking notes, write this down. Faithful obedience is our responsibility. Guys, you got to write that down because that's your answer. Faithful obedience is my responsibility. Whoops. My responsibility, okay? The outcome is whose? Yes. Faithful obedience is my job. The outcome is God. Go to sleep on that one. So, we're supposed to live out the plans and purposes God has. That's our job, all right? So, God's called you to be a father and a husband and a father. That's your job. Live it out. God's called you to be a wife and a mother. That's your job. Live it out. God's called you in the darkest, creepiest, stinkiest workplace. God's called you there. Live it out. That's probably the plans and purposes of God. That's your job. That is your job. Okay? That is your job. Okay? Everybody say, that's your job. And you know what? When you know it's your job, you know what your job is, that's the end. Ta-da! That's my job. Ta-da! That's all I have to do. Now, how it plays out is God's job. Faithful obedience is my responsibility. How it plays out is God. All right? My job is just to obey, to honor God, to hear his voice when he speaks to me, to do as he says. That's my job. Do you know how, what a weight is lifted off of me? I was talking to this person this week, and I had to say, hey, you're a mess. You are trying to do God's job. I mean, she was a mess. So I had to say, listen, your responsibility is simply to obey what God speaks to you. Now, what a relief. Amen? All right, so we have these three teenage boys, and they're staring down the king, and they say, all right, we believe our God is able and our God is willing, and we believe that he will deliver us. All right, now, verse 18. Everybody say, but. This is one time you can say, but. But even if he doesn't, your majesty, you can be sure that we will never serve your God or worship the golden idol that you have set up. This is where they go, hey, listen, let's just make this clear. We are not worshiping this idol. We believe in our God. We will honor him. We will honor our God, and we will obey him. We will serve him wholly. And the outcome, we believe it'll be good, but we just don't care, all right? I just think it is so much better to go into a fight with 100%, like 100%, 110%, than to sit there and go, So I'm all in. I'm just one of those, I'm all in. I'm all in. Let's just do it. So we believe our God is willing and able, and he will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, listen, buddy, we are not serving this idol. We will not worship your gods, okay? Now, that is so easy for us to go, well, of course. That's because you all read the story. You know that God delivers them. Listen, they didn't know the outcome. All right? And listen, I try to write programs for God. I think my calling card should be computer programmer. Pastor D, No, forget it. Just plain old D. I try to write programs from God. But listen, that is not my job. Throw that card away. All right? So these guys simply decided that they would be faithful to obey God. All right? Faithful to obey God. So that's what's going on. And you know what? They didn't know the outcome, but the most amazing thing was they were unwavering in their love. They were unwavering in their obedience. They were unwavering in their boldness. Guys, they didn't know the ending, but they knew that they would be faithful and obey God. So now, can I tell you something? That moment, ta-da, before the king, to be unwavering in my love and my obedience and my confidence just didn't happen that day when they got called in the principal's office. Okay? It did not happen that day, did it? No. It happened because they predetermined a long time ago, and if you were here for week number one in Daniel chapter one, they predetermined that they would not eat of the food sacrificed to pagan idols, that they would honor their God. And I got a hunch they predetermined before that day. All right? So the reason why they could stand unwavering before the king who had their life and death in his hand is because they predetermined to know their God, to hear his voice, to dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, to follow after when he speaks. That's why they could stand there that day. So they predetermined. And can I tell you another thing? I'm going to tell you anyway. It starts with the small things. The everyday things, okay? It starts with the small everyday things. God talks to you. You open up your Bible, and he is just telling you to read 1 Corinthians 13. Of course, you guys had war last night at your house with your spouse, and he tells you to read that, okay? It starts with little things like that, where he just tweaks you, and he says, now, read that verse. Now obey that verse. It just starts every day, guys. Just hearing God and obeying him. And then the day you get called in the principal's office, you will have unwavering faith. And it's no big deal to say to the king, hey, we are not going to bow down to this ridiculous statue and worship any of your gods. We will serve only our God, no matter what. All right, so what's the king's response to all of this? He is furious, mad. And it's really funny to read in different translations. He turns red in the face. You know, you wonder if he had a demonic possession back then. I don't know. But he just goes into rage and he says, that's it. You guys are going to be marshmallows burnt to a crisp. Bind them up. And he tells some soldiers, mighty men in his army, to bind them up. So does that mean their hands and their feet? It doesn't really tell you, but I believe they bind them up. Okay, everything. And then he says, also, make the fire how many times hotter? Seven times hotter. Now, I can turn, so the guy is off the deep. When you get into rage, you go off the deep. You get crazy. I have been crazy sometimes. I just got into total rage. I won't tell you those funny stories, okay? But he goes off the rage. Now, let me tell you this. If I just turn on I have a gas stove. If I turn on my gas stove and toast a marshmallow, I can make it a crispy critter, right? I don't need to turn it up seven times hotter. The guy is off the deep. You know, the people they throw in are going to burn. Who cares if you turn it up seven times? He's off the deep. And he's so off the deep. All right, so he makes it seven times hotter. Okay, it was funny to me. Like, you guys, okay. Anyway, so he makes it seven times hotter than normal. And he has his officers bind them up and throw them in. And the flames are just shooting out. And his officers get killed, burnt. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego supposedly fall to their death or get burnt, right? Supposedly. No, thank you. Hallelujah. He doesn't. All right. So let's see. What verse are we in? How about 34? Seemingly, they are thrown to their death. But everybody can say, but God, but God. You know, those but God and suddenly are my most favorite expressions when I read the Bible. But God, and then the other one that I see all the time is suddenly. Watch out. So we got one of those but God suddenly things here. Okay, what verse am I on, y'all? You're all paying attention. Thank you. 24. All right. But suddenly, as he was watching, King Nebuchadnezzar jumped up, amazement, and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace? Yes, they said, we did indeed, your majesty. Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see four men unbound. Everybody say unbound. Woo! Walking around. Oh my gosh. And they aren't even hurt by the flames. And the fourth is like a divine being. Some translations say like a god. Okay. Some say the son of God. And I was tossing out a zillion different translations and all that stuff. And I don't know if it was an angel or Jesus. But they got set free. All right. Guys, this is the important part. You know why it's so important? Because some of you are in the fire. You're in trials, okay? You're in bad days, all right? And you're begging, God, get me out of here. God, when's this thing going to end? And just maybe he'll go in the fire with you and set you free. And you're in the fire. I have begged. I've cried. I've promised to be good. Get me out of here, God. Get me out of here. And just maybe, while you're in the fire, in the midst of the fire, he'll start doing something in you. Some of the worst situations I have ever walked through, I figured it out after I got through. I did not figure it out while I was in the middle of it, I'm sorry to say. I don't want to get one of those again. But anyway, I figured out after I got through, that what God did in me was so great. So great. Now, does it mean, don't get stupid on me and say, oh, Pastor D, we should pray for bad things. No, of course not. Okay, you know, you're smarter than that, all right? But my favorite story to tell, besides telling stories on me, is I remember this so clear. Ruth Cashman, this is like years ago, husband is a party boy up at the country club. He's an alcoholic. He's smoking cigarettes. And she's got two teenager sons, and they're on drugs and doing everything else that goes with that. And she's going, God, change my husband. God, change my son. God, get me out of this. And you know what God says? I want to work with you first. Okay? And of course, I would have a temper tantrum in front of the candy aisle, splat, okay? And she did. And then you know, and it wasn't the God, it was so funny, she'll tell you the story. The Lord spoke to her, and of course she is like, that's not God. And so she'd run to every ladies' meeting, and people kept giving her the same word. I would like to start with you, Ruth. Okay, and God started working with Ruth. And Ruth changed. In the fire, the character changed, all right? And then she eventually made it through that, and you know the rest of the story. They all get gloriously saved and all that, the whole story, okay? Now, so, that I have a dear friend, I'm not going to name names, a dear friend, and grew up in a horrific situation, grew up in poverty, grew up in a home where they didn't know the Lord. And I think some auntie took her to a church and she got saved as a little girl, like 6 years old. But she grew up in this home and there was sexual abuse. Not only with a father, but with uncles, brothers, just horrible, horrible. So she leaves home and she goes to college just on an amazing, only God scholarship. amazing. And God just starts putting her together again. Puts this shattered girl's life back together again. Through the word. Through the word. Okay? And and she's just an amazing woman and a minister of God and just been a dear friend of mine for a long time. But what she said, and this is one of Pastor Jack's favorite things, is the thing that you have been set free so many times, you will be called to set others free. So why are we complaining? Okay? She has become an amazing minister. Matter of fact, she can almost read body language. No, it's really the Lord speaks to her and says, you know, you see that woman over there? I want you to talk to her. She's been through it. Okay? All right? So in the midst of the fire, the angel of the Lord or the Lord Jesus unbinds them and they go walking around. And they also, King Nebuchadnezzar says, I thought I threw three in there. I think I see four. So let's read 28 and we'll wrap up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He has sent his angels to rescue his servants who trusted in him. Trusted in him. They defied the king's command, and they were willing to die rather than serve and worship. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. When God shows up and he starts setting you free, all right, people will see. And I will tell you, God always shows up. I've been through some really horrible stuff in my life, but I always knew my God was with me. I knew he showed up, he was with me, and that he brought me through. All right, so when God shows up and he sets you free, other people will see. There's many of you in the congregation. You've come out of jail. You've come out of addiction. And you've walked. God set you free. And you've walked. And you've walked. And people see it. And they go, oh. Oh. You're God. Your God did that. Who is it? I was on the phone. Dolores. I was on the phone the other day with the lady. I can't think of her name. From the rescue mission. From the ladies' women thing.
Was it Pam?
No, it wasn't Pam. But anyway, she was calling and asking me some questions and da-da-da. And she said, Pastor D, thank you so much for what you do. Because we're working with a women's rescue mission.
It was Wendy.
Yes, it was Wendy. And then I go, oh, no. Don't thank me. I just want to thank you for what you do. She's on the phone, and I don't know her job description. And then she said, oh, Pastor D, but I was one of those. I was a woman in the rescue house. You know, I was on the streets, and I had to live in the rescue center. Okay, and guess what she's doing? The thing that Jesus set her free from, she's pouring into others. I guarantee you, everything and anything that Jesus sets you free, he will let you appoint you, direct you to help others. And that is wonderful. That is wonderful. So, what was number three on our list here? You all taking notes? Faithful obedience is my responsibility. And the outcome's up to God. And what he does in getting you out is just wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So a faith that is tested is a faith that is trusted. And hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let me see what he wants us to do here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hey, just close your eyes for a second. I believe there's people here and you're in the fire. You feel like you've been in the fire forever, but you're in the fire and you're discouraged. And I know that God spoke these words to you today to encourage you, that he's with you. Don't ever doubt that he's taken a vacation. He's with you. And you ask him and you believe and you know that he's working through you. And it was real interesting. Those three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Lord delivered them in the fire where they were unbound. And they're walking around. They're just walking around. Now, if I am unbound and I'm in the fire, where do you think you'd go next? Out of the fire. All right, think about this. So they were thrown in, tied up, and the only thing that's burnt is the ropes that bound them. Not their clothes, not their hair. By the way, I have set my hair on my arm on fire on the grill. And it stinks, okay? None of that happened. And they're still walking around. Why were they walking around? So that king could see. And he said, but your God, that's who we're going to worship. That's who we'll give glory to. So any of you that you feel like I'm in the fire, please just thank God that he's working and he's the deliverer. He's the deliverer. And you know, we all know Psalm 23. Yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. We think we say it when people die at the funerals, right? Yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will feel the Lord is with me. Though I walk through. You're going to walk through, guys. Going to walk through. Unbound. Unstink. So God, people will say, your God is something. Your God is something. Look what he did in your life. All right? So if you have been discouraged, lift your head up and say, but my God is my deliverer, and I trust wholly in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. So I'm not going to complain I'm in the fire anymore, okay? I catch myself all the time. Anybody's around me, I'll go, oh, I'm sorry, I was complaining. Oops, I'm sorry, I do that. Okay, now I'm going to get really good that I don't even get the, oops, I'm sorry, I was complaining out. I'm just going to not going to do that, all right? So if you would like prayer, if you, listen, it somebody to come and agree with you, we have elders up front, that's your calling, elders up front, okay? Okay, elders up front, and we'd like to pray with you, okay? We'll pray with you. And we'll walk with you. As a matter of fact, we'll even call you up the next day if you want us to, because we believe in our God. Amen. All right, guys. Next week, Todd Levin, my most fun, passionate person. He just has the gospel in him. And he's really even, he was a little tight when I first met him. I've known him about 20 years. Now he has 3 or 4 kids. Oh my gosh. He is so funny now. Everybody should have 3 or 4 kids. It'll do something. It'll make you loose. Right, Joe? Yes, Joe's going to say amen. They got 5 going on here. All righty. Bring friends to this.